Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
Any bit is risky, but some are riskier than others, and a bunch of you guys are going to be tempted because you got the Super Bowl right around the corner.
Would you risk it all, or would you play it safe? This is a story of pride, ego, and risk, and I'm curious as to what y'all think I should do.
Sidebar, because I wasn't here the last 2 days, who are you guys rooting for in the Super Bowl, or do you even care?
I could care less.
Couldn't care less.
I'm actually rooting for the Eagles.
Yeah.
No. Have you met her?
Taylor.
Don't even say it with a straight face. I don't even know if I'm going to watch it.
Really?
Yeah, like that's how disinterested I am.
I'm kind of torn because the Philadelphia Eagles have a whole bunch of Georgia Bulldogs on there. There's like five of them, so my heart's kind of there. But I also like to be part of history, and no team has won three straight Super Bowls, and Kansas City can do that this time, so I don't know.
Ooh, can I task you with you and Mo from a sports, and Abby, you too, from a pop culture standpoint. Can you guys put together some reasons why you think I should tune into the Super Bowl?
Sure.
Like why I should actually give an F?
It's not going to be easy, but yeah.
It's going to be tough this year.
Why should I care about the Super Bowl?
Are you never into it, or is it a this year thing?
It's a this year thing.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh well, I'm rooting for the Chiefs, and now I'm really rooting for the Chiefs because of this situation I found myself in. So my uncle has this Super Bowl pot every year, and it's a big deal. He normally tries to get about 50 people in it, and everybody puts in $50 to play. I lose at this thing every year. Never fails. Normally I lose because the Cowboys will make the playoffs, and I'm the guy that always takes my team, the Cowboys, to the Super Bowl, and obviously they never make it to the Super Bowl. So I always lose. This particular year, he calls me and he tries to get me to play. I say no three times. I'm like, this is just a waste of money. I'm trying to save my money. I've already lost enough money throughout the NFL season. I'm all good. I'm done. So the third time he calls me, he's practically begging me. He's like, nephew, come on, man. Like, I need another person. If we don't get to 50 people, then the league doesn't work out the way he wants it to work out. So he's practically begging me.
And this is 50 bucks you're talking
50
about.
50 bucks. Okay. He's like, you got the 50 bucks. You can do it. Blah, blah, blah. I said, all right, Unc, I'll play. I'll just play to help you out. So the way that it works is it's the playoffs. It's kind of like March Madness, if you will, for the NFL playoffs. So all 50 of these men, you choose what you believe the NFL bracket will look like, how you think it will play out. And I think what worked to my advantage this year was, one, I really didn't care because the Cowboys are out. I'm genuinely picking off of nothing to do with my heart, just my brain.
That's nice.
Right. You usually perform much better that way. And everyone else, I think in the league, what I've noticed is there are so many people who do not want Kansas City to win that a lot of people eliminated themselves by trying to go against Kansas City throughout the playoffs.
He's going
to
bet against Patrick Mahomes. What are you, crazy?
Exactly.
No, so you're betting against the NFL and the refs.
Well, a lot of people think that, right? So for me, I'm like, if this is just pure money, nothing else, just my mind. Like Bert just said, I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes. If you've been watching football for the last 7 years, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to bet against this guy. Literally all he knows is winning, and since he's gotten into the league. So I start putting my bracket together, and for the first time that since I've been doing this in like over a decade, I pretty much get every game right. Like I don't miss any games. And the way that it panned out, there's another guy in the league who we always in fantasy football go head up. Like, it's always either him or me when it comes down to the end. So he's like my arch nemesis when it comes to all of this. And as it pans out, we're both like the final two teams. Everybody else that was in the last top 10 of the guys picked the Bills to win. So when Kansas City beat the Bills, it came down to me and this guy. The difference is he's an Eagles fan. So he picked the Eagles. I picked the Chiefs. So the entire pot now is between the two of us, and it comes down to the Super Bowl.
And how much is up for grabs?
$5,000.
Dang, okay.
This is my first time actually having a chance to win it. So I'm thinking, all right, it's all done. We're both in the Super Bowl. Like, it's starting to feel like I play for the Chiefs at this point. I want to win so bad. This dude throws a curveball that I did not see coming. Sends me an email. And in the email says, I'm putting, the subject was putting my pride and ego to the side. Want to know if you're willing to do the same. So I'm like, what? So I open the email. This guy says, listen, it's been a tough year, right, for both of us. financially, I feel like we could both use this money. Who can't? How about instead of us going against each other for the Super Bowl, we just decide here and now, whatever happens, we just enjoy the game. We split the pot. And at first, I'm like, hell no. I'm not doing that.
Sounds like a loser to me.
Right. That's exactly how I took it. There's no way I'm doing that.
This is the whole premise. Remember, I was telling you guys a couple of weeks ago about Beast Game or Beast Games on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Same type thing. Do you take the money yourself or do you give it to everybody? He wants to share it with you. And you're like, wait a minute.
So now I'm like, my initial reaction was, no, I'm not going out like that. I got this far. I'm all in. I don't see Kansas City losing. But when I brought it to my friends, they were like, take the guaranteed 25. Like, why wouldn't you take it? There's no losing in that. Then you can just enjoy the game and it doesn't matter.
And I just looked it up, looked up the spread. Kansas City's only a 1.5 point favorite.
It can really go either way.
It is tight.
It's close. Both of these teams are really good. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if either team won. So it's just tough. I really don't know what to do. What would y'all do?
Well, it's a nice problem to have.
It is.
Right? Well, where are you financially?
I mean, like most, I could use the extra money. Who can't at this point? But it's not going to make or break me either way. I'll be fine. But the 25 in hand sounds promising. But that five.
Yeah.
I think I'm leaning on going for the five.
What are you doing, Abby?
For me, if I'm you and I'm in a position where I don't necessarily need the extra $2,500, I'm saying screw it. Let's just split it. Because if he ends up winning and then takes the five, you're going to regret that decision. That's going to keep you up at night. Whereas if you end up having to split the $2,500 and then you end up winning, you're going to feel bad about it for a little bit. And then you're going to see that direct deposit. And you're like, you know what? It's fine.
That's a good point.
For this particular game,
it's just, yeah,
I would take the $2,500. It's going to be so close that you're so close to losing all that cash. It's going to be so close. I'd walk away with the $2,500.
Okay.
Yeah, the fact that it's a 1.5 point spread towards Kansas City, it's a little too close for comfort for me. I need a couple more points.
Yep.
I'm taking the $2,500.
Okay. All right, play it safe.
But you don't play it safe.
I never do.
You got to go for it?
I don't know, man. Sure. He told me he'll give me into the Pro Bowl, so I got into this weekend to decide.
Okay. All right, so we got this email from a listener, and again, this circulates around baby names and a couple of people having kids at the same time, and then the confusion about are we allowed to name them the same thing? Abby's got the email.
Hi, Burt Show team. My name is Laura, and I could really use some advice from you and your listeners about a disagreement in my family. My husband, Colin, and I are expecting our first child, a baby boy. Yay! I've dreamed of naming him Charles after my father and grandfather. It's a family tradition I've always wanted to continue. The thing is, Colin has a 17-year-old son from his first marriage, also named Charles, but he goes by Charlie. We rarely see Charlie now that he's away at college, and even though Charlie is no longer under our roof, Colin feels strongly that we can't name our son Charles, too. He thinks it would be confusing and would hurt his ex-wife. Colin's ex-wife tends to always get her way, and he's convinced that this decision will upset her. I get that she might not love the idea, but honestly, I don't see why her feelings should dictate what I name our child. This name has so much meaning to me, and I don't feel like I should have to give it up just because his older son shares it. I've even suggested that our baby could go by a nickname or a middle name variation to make things easier, but Colin just isn't budging. So here's my question and request. Am I being unreasonable for wanting to use the name Charles? Would it really be so bad for two half-siblings who barely interact to share the same name? And should his ex-wife's opinion really carry this much weight in our decision? My husband knows I'm coming to you with this as we are both listeners of your show, so I'd love for you to do a poll with your listeners and get their take on this. I promise to show him the results either way. But please remember, I'm the pregnant one over here creating life. Best. Laura.
Women seem to feel more passionately about this as we've had this on the show for like 20 years than dudes do.
Well, he feels pretty passionate about it too since he's putting his foot down. Listen, I get for him, it would be weird to be like, here's my son Charles. Here's my other son Charles. but have fun with it. You have Charles 1 and you have Charles 2. Because if this was just a rando name that had no meaning, then I would be like him. This is her dad's name. This is her grandfather's name. This is a legacy name. It's a tradition. Sir, you're getting two chucks.
Yep, I feel the same way.
Two chucks?
Two chucks, man. It is, like you said, it's a legacy name. If it were any other reason, I would see what the complaint is about, but if it's a legacy name, two chucks.
No, I think it'd be weird as hell. I'm from the South, so I actually know somebody who pretty much had the same dilemma, and so they ended up naming the child the legacy name. It was like John or something, but they call him something completely different. It's just always been weird to me. I'm like, just name him what you're going to call him. Give Charles the middle name so it's there for sentimental reasons, and then give him the name.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Actually going to go by.
The Bird Show.
Is it because we're still in January here and it's a new year, maybe, that you got a bunch of people in here that all of a sudden are having tattoo fever? What's going on?
There's something in the Bird Show water where everybody wants to get their body inked.
I think it started with Cassie talking about it, right? You want to get that phoenix?
I want to get a phoenix because I've gone through a transformative phase and the universe was sending me signs and I feel like it's time.
I'm down. For me, the tattoo situation is dealing with, as if you have listened before, my mother passed away a couple of years ago, so I wanted to get her handwriting kind of like traced on my body.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly where I want to get it yet. I am thinking about like the wrist area, so I can always look down and see that. And then when I was at Mo's show, I actually came across, his sister was there, and I remember you telling on In the Moment that she wanted to be a tattoo artist and all that stuff, and it kind of clicked, and I was like, I shot my shot. I was like, hey, how would you feel about, you know, maybe doing my first tattoo? It's just a tracing kind of thing. Mm. She was like, that sounds kind of cool, but I live in out of state, you know. And then I was like, well, I know you visit your brother, so maybe next time you're in town, eek me up.
Do you think she just travels with her?
I don't know.
It does that work. Yeah.
It does that. I don't really know.
I think she can travel with her kit. I never asked her or seen her travel with it before, but I know she has done a tattoo outside of the state that she lives in. I just got to ask her how she did that.
I would think that if you would have to get a license for the state that you're tattooing in.
I don't. That's
what's under the table.
That's a good question.
Kaylee would probably know the answer to this, right? He used to do this.
Well, yeah, most tattoo artists have travel kits because a lot of them go to conventions and such. But yeah, you wouldn't need a license to just,
you know,
do it in somebody's, like, house or apartment.
Okay.
Yeah, but she should have a travel kit.
Well, that's a case and we could do it on air.
Oh, if she is, could you reach out to her sometime, Mo? Because you definitely know her better than me.
She told you she would do it?
She said that she seemed like she was interested, but it was a busy night and it was kind of like a conversation in passing.
I mean, I know she's passionate about it and she loves it. I don't remember exactly what happened to why the shop shut down that she was doing it in. And I think at that point, it wasn't her fault. I can tell you that. But she started pursuing her art full time, but she was telling me that like she still wishes there was ways she could tattoo. So
I volunteer to give her my wrist.
I'm sure she'd be interested. I'm sure she'll do it.
Do you remember years ago in our old studio, we had a Bird Show listener come in, and was it a Bird Show tattoo we got? And we had to sit there and listen to the entire show, and my misophonia was going crazy because all you hear was like.
Do you remember my friend Chris came in here and got a tattoo on the air also while he was talking about his new book?
Maybe that was it.
That was another one. Yeah. And Jackson, you want one now too?
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about this for years. Mine is way less sentimental and deep and meaningful. I just think they look cool, and I've been thinking about ideas for a long time. And this really resurged when my girlfriend, she also wants to be a tattoo artist. That's like her dream job right now. And her legs are like very tatted up right now, and she's got, you know, big plans for getting a lot of pretty big pieces. And so after seeing her go through a lot of the process, I'm like, I think it might be time for me to finally commit. And I think that's also kind of falling in line with a little bit of like the body transformation that I'm trying to go through this year too, that falls in line with the idea of what kind of tattoo that I want. The problem is the tattoo is a little bit aggressive and intense, and I think it might be a little bit much for a first tattoo, but I'm kind of set on committing to this one.
What is it? Elon Musk?
I'm worried.
So here's
it's a giant Cybertruck on his back.
So here's the thing. You know how they always say when you come up with a tattoo idea, a lot of times it's good to sit on that idea for a year before you actually get it. That way you know that you actually want it. I'm someone that is going to be very particular about what is put on me, and I feel like if something was even a little bit off or a little bit wrong, it would bug me and bother me for a long time. And so I've got inspired by someone that I watch on YouTube who has these tattoos that are way more abstract. And so because of that, it wouldn't bother me so much. And I think that it looks really cool. So I'll share a picture with you guys and I'll see what you guys think.
Do you want real? You want real feedback?
I want real feedback on this. Okay. Because I mean, I'm pretty set on committing to it, but this is what we're working with.
It's a lot.
Wow. That's going to be all over.
It's not going to be as aggressive as that. Okay. This is kind of an extreme example, but that is the exact style that I'm going for.
So it's going to be all over your chest and your arms and your neck?
Not neck and not hands, but potentially down to the arms.
Damn,
oh my God.
Bro.
So you're getting like almost sleeves.
It's not really a sleeve.
It kind of looks
like vines or branches that are coming down. And so I think the cool part about it is that it's not perfect. And so that's why I think that I could commit to this.
You're going to look like you ran through a thorn bush.
Exactly.
Don't get me wrong.
It's kind of cool.
This is an incredible tattoo. But I would suggest there's a website I love to use. I think it's called Inkbox, and you can get temporary, like 2 to 3 week tattoos,
yeah,
and
I've
you can
those.
Design your own.
Ooh.
You might want to try a few of those out first just to see if you really like it, because that's a big, big commitment.
For sure. So my girlfriend actually has the whole like Inkbox set that lets you do freehand tattoos as well.
Oh,
so we do those like regularly.
You should have her do that on you. So it's not, so you know, if you want to be a walking Jackson Pollock.
Well, Kristen can't get this out fast enough. What?
That's our next bet payoff. Somebody's going to have, it's not going to be a real face tattoo, but they're going to have to get their face completely tattooed.
For a weekend?
For like how long does it last?
They last a couple weeks.
For the length of how long it lasts, you have to have a face tattoo for a couple weeks.
I'm in.
I'm not mad. The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
This breakup rocked Bachelor Nation to its core. We talked about this last week because the breakup news actually came to light, and it was a little confusing because of the way the news came out that a lot of people didn't take it fully seriously at first. So I'm talking about former Bachelor Matt James, who was dating his choice at the end of the Bachelor season, Rachel Kirkconnell. They've been together about 4-ish, 5 years. They're one of those very stable Bachelor couples that you see on social media. You kind of always wonder if like they're going to get engaged because they've been together for so long and seem really happy.
It's a long time for a Bachelor couple.
Yes, and this couple travels a lot together. Matt does this thing where he likes to review restaurants, so he and Rachel will always be out in different cities and they'll be posting about the new restaurants that they go to, and there's always these cute videos of like Rachel eating pizza and then them together like holding hands and going to like an ice cream place. It's very wholesome and cute. And so we all knew the people that followed them. We knew that they were abroad in like London in early January together because we had seen videos of them doing food reviews in London. And then all of a sudden I'm sitting here getting ready for eBuzz. I've got Instagram pulled up just in case something like this pops up. And I see that Matt James has posted a photo of them meeting at the Bachelor. Well, it wasn't the Bachelor Mansion because it was during COVID. So it was at Nemacolin. So it was at the resort that they were filming at. Them meeting, and the caption was like a prayer talking about how they need the strength of God to make it through this breakup. And so we were all like, what the heck? This is so random. Like, totally fine to like, you know, we know that Matt's a very religious man, totally fine to put out a prayer, but this is just coming out of nowhere. Yesterday, you were just posting the pictures of you guys eating pizza in England together. What is happening? So at this point, we know that they have officially broken up, and Rachel Kirkconnell shook the girlies everywhere when she and Alex Cooper got together for an episode of Call Her Daddy that premiered last night at 9 p.m., where she gave a tell-all interview as to what happened. And everyone got their popcorn ready, including me, because I was like, spill the tea, girl. What'd this man do? And it was basically like a two-hour interview of her explaining that while they were in Japan together, she suggested a restaurant for their food reviews. She's like, let's go to this restaurant. I think it's going to be great. It'll look good on video. And it turns out that this restaurant's like a bust. And she, you can tell the way she's describing the situation that she gets anxiety around these things a lot from Matt. Like, you could tell from how she was describing those situations in the interview that she kind of feels like she tiptoes around his emotions a lot. Like, maybe he gaslights her into apologizing for things that she doesn't need to apologize for. And so I'm kind of sitting there watching this take place and her explain that. And she said basically she had an emotional outburst when the restaurant was a bust because she was so nervous of the reaction. And so then he has an emotional response to her saying, well, if you're going to get upset about this, like what else in the future are you going to get upset about? And it's this whole like fight that they go through. So then the day that she's leaving from Japan to go back home, he breaks up with her. and says, this is like, I can't do this anymore. So he breaks up with her as she's leaving for the airport. And he must have known, because she said, I knew I wasn't going to have cell phone service for the next 15 hours. So, you know, you go up in the air, you don't get Wi-Fi or whatever. That's when he posted the breakup post to Instagram. So now everybody is like, oh, he must have posted that so she couldn't have a response, because she lands and then finds out that he has leaked their breakup news to the world.
Wow. Okay.
And this is really heartbreaking for any woman, I think, specifically, like when you think you're going to marry this person and they kind of drag you on for the next couple of years. Hearing her talk about it on Call Her Daddy, I think, will resonate with a lot of women.
So I guess our third year of dating was when I started to just ask, like, okay, so where is this going? He seemed like he was on the same page. It was like just confusing to look back on now. When we would talk about things, he always seemed like he was on the same page, privately and publicly. I honestly think we talked about family and kids more than anything. That sucks more than anything, I think, because I think when you picture your life, you have an idea of what it's going to look like. And now I'm like, I have no idea what life looks like from here on out. And yeah, it's sad to like think about these. I'm trying not to laugh at myself, but like, yeah, I'm like picturing these kids that are obviously like no longer a thing, which like kind of sounds crazy. I'm not trying to sound like an insane person, but
you don't sound crazy.
That's probably like one of the saddest things about it, is just picturing your life with someone and thinking like that is how your life's gonna look, and then now it's just all taken away.
So in your explanation, I'm a little thin on why they broke up in the first place.
So he broke up with her, I think, after a long period of him gaslighting her into apologizing for things that she didn't need to apologize for. And the final straw was this restaurant situation where she totally went silent. He was asking, why are you not talking? What's going on? And she basically explained that I don't want to irritate you. I don't want to bother you. And basically then just had an emotional outburst saying, I'm so sorry, I messed up the restaurant thing, blah, blah, blah. And then he got mad at her for getting emotional, for being afraid at him getting emotional. And so he, I believe, used that as a lightning rod to finally break up this relationship that he was never going to commit to in the first place.
I mean, she's basically saying he created these insecurities in me and then took advantage of them.
Gotcha. Exactly. So for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So I am past the stage with my kid where I'm trying to figure out creative ways how to get him to do things. Now it's more like creative ways how to punish him when he doesn't. You're in a very different part of your life.
Yeah. I don't know why it was just the evolution of things. But like sometimes when I'm trying to, I don't know if it's teach my kid or get my kid to do something, I don't know why I'll try to do it with the power of song, but I might just change up the lyrics to match what I'm trying to get the kid to do.
It's not bad. I mean, it's not bad at all. Make it fun for him, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Somehow, some way.
Yeah, and I don't know why I just decided to break into song or what even inspired it. But like,
You would have asked me, of all the parents on the Burt Show, which one breaks in the song to get their kids to do crap, I would have said Kaylee was absolutely last.
For yeah, sure.
I mean, not even close.
Well, maybe when you hear just my lyric of this song, but you'll think, I don't know what you'll think. Anyway, this Instagram, I was trying to find other parents that might do this, but so you know the song Popular from Wicked, right? Mm-hmm. Glinda, whatever her name is, trying to like teach the other one, or she's going to be to be popular. Uh-huh. Well, Nika Diwa on Instagram did her own version of Popular that was a little bit more inspiring.
Popular. Who cares if you're popular? Don't listen to all that noise, all those silly boys. Don't forget to wear your crown. Ooh, don't matter what clothes you wear, how you fix your hair. Everything they tell you to be popular.
Yeah, so you know, just kind of changed it up. Who cares if you're popular, right?
I like
right?
it. Good right. lesson.
So
she also has a great voice. Yes. Pull that off pretty well.
Yeah, she absolutely. Most certainly did music theater when she was in school.
So when you have a toddler, 2, 3, 4 years old in bath time, getting them to close their eyes when you're putting soap on their head to shampoo. Oh. It put your head back so the soap doesn't run forward and drip down your face.
And you would think
you're not crying.
Yeah, you would think when they do that time and time again and they get the soap in their eyes that they would learn by themselves. But they continue to go in.
Yep. Correct. And it's the same reoccurring problem every time you bathe them, which is, you know. So I don't know why during bath time I couldn't even figure out where the song was from, and then I remembered it was when Will Ferrell was burying Blue in Old School, and he was singing this song. But the
So the closing of the eyes thing Correct. Makes sense to you because that's all you're trying to teach here.
And so I don't know why.
Dust in the Wind is what you went for?
From Kansas. Give Kansas. So Kieran and I, now when she gets in the bathtub, it's really cute because she will, if I even start to sing.
And she's got herself a head of hair.
Oh, yeah. Yes, exactly. It's a huge pain in the A. So this is our version to remind her to shut her eyes. Close your eyes before the soap runs down and burns your eyeballs out. Before the soap runs down and burns your eyeballs out.
Quite the lyrics as you are.
Well done.
That's not bad at all, bro.
I don't know that I liked it on paper, but when I heard it,
it's a great learning experience, right? So now other parents can use that. You're welcome.
Whatever. Solid song.
The Burt Show.
I think some of you guys are already, before I even start this segment, are going to get it twisted because you're going to say, you guys don't talk about politics. And this is way more about parenting and education than it is about politics.
And the election's over, so technically that's off the table now.
About talking about politics?
I thought so.
I think it's probably more heated now than it was before. I think we're smart to stay away from it.
Have you been watching the news?
A lot of it, actually, on both sides, yeah. So I don't really care about which candidates or which political parties my kids identify with. I want to make sure they know why they're identifying with it, right? As it stands right now, I've got one that's an actor and he's on the liberal side. And then I've got my 17-year-old who goes to a private Catholic school and a fairly affluent community that he goes to school with. So he was at a retreat with a bunch of his friends last week, and he was sending me pictures from the retreat, and I noticed that on a lot of the kids, they're either wearing a MAGA hat or a MAGA shirt, right? So he wasn't until one of the pictures came in, and he was rocking a MAGA hat. So I made note of it. And what I do know now is that the thing that drives me absolutely crazy, not especially with youth, anybody that is backing a candidate but doesn't really know why they're backing them, or they read the headline and they don't exactly know what it's all about. So when he came in, I wanted to have a conversation on exactly what that means. Okay, so you're wearing the hat, and this was not to sway him one way or the other. I'm just glad that he's sort of inside. He has some political insight and knew what a lot of the stuff was. I just wanted to make sure of it. And it wasn't to say, hey, Trump sucks. The country is in a panic. The things that he's doing is too fat. None of that. I just wanted to hear from him what he knew and what he didn't know about backing a political party or backing a political candidate. So I sat him down. And I said, I saw the hat that you were wearing with your friends, and I want to ask you about it. And I could see him start to get a little on the panic side, because I'm more in the middle than he and Hayden are. One's to the right, one's more to the left, and I'm kind of in the middle. And I think he thought that I was going to come down on him for being a Trump supporter, which I was not. So I said to him, if you're going to rock that hat, you got to know what it means, man. So tell me what was crappy about America before that Trump is going to come in and make America great again, because that's implied that the country kind of sucks, that we're not great, and now we're going to be great with him. So, you guys, I got to tell you, I went into this talk with him more researched than anything I have done, because I wanted to be ready for anything that I wanted to be credible. Because if I'm telling him he needs to be educated, I wanted to brush up on my education also. So he had rattled off about three or four different things, and I don't want to get into the specifics, but it was clear to me on a couple of them that he was caught up sort of just regurgitating info that his 17-year-old friends have said that probably have been influenced by their parents as well. So when he threw out stuff like the economy, I had statistics behind me, not saying, hey, you got this wrong. I just want to lay out the actual facts for you. Or like he didn't know that undocumented immigrants pay taxes in this country also. I think he and a lot of his friends think they come on over the border, they're taking jobs, they're not giving back, they're not paying taxes, when the truth of the matter is they do. So it wasn't me saying you got that wrong, so change your candidate. Let me just tell you what these issues are and what they mean. And then I was really surprised and happily surprised with how educated he was on most. It was a father and a son having political dialogue, listening to each other back and forth. And I was pleasantly surprised by how much he knew and how strong he was in his opinions and how they were based on fact. Because I just assumed that he was reading headlines and nothing else. And in a couple of the cases, that was the truth. But in the overall scheme of things, it was just what I think is wrong in a lot of families in our communities now, that once you see MAGA, or once you see Trump, or once you see Biden, or once you see Sanders, that you're making an opinion based on very little education.
But after everything was said and done, how did you guys leave the conversation?
Both of us, I think, became more educated to the other person's stance. We talked a lot about religion also, because this was a class trip that he took. So a lot of his values align with Catholicism, where mine do not. So while we disagreed, at least I heard him out, and at least he heard me out also. There was no trying to sway. There was no trying to win. There was just education on both sides.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really great that you had those conversations, because it's important for him, especially if he's going to go to a school, like I know he's been interested in Ole Miss, like to come in with information from the other party side, because he's going to join that frat and all he's going to hear is MAGA, 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 MAGA.
Yeah.
And I think it's good that you're also teaching him what the other side believes and why they believe. So even if he's going to still have his more conservative opinions, he at least has respect from somebody he knows about why you believe those things.
I'm sure that it was made you proud to see that he was standing on business and he did know more than what you anticipated he did. And it's also good that he'll know that, you know, it's one thing to stand on where you are, but also hear the other side out and then have your views and be strong in what you believe.
Yeah. One of the conversations we had within this whole thing is about how the country is divided. He has a different idea of why it's divided than I do. But part of it is he even said that people aren't listening to each other anymore. And the last thing I wanted to do is have a conversation with him where I wasn't listening to what he was saying and vice versa. So you can still have these conversations with your kid and they can still be very, very positive.
It's possible.
So you're going to get a hat that says, make my house liberal again?
No, mine would probably say, just know what you're talking about. That's all.
The Burt Show.
Hi, Kristen. Here you are in dry January. Holding strong?
I am holding strong. We just got a couple days left, people. We can make it. Just a couple days left. And I figured, you know, I punished myself so much in January. Why not go ahead and punish myself in February as well, for whatever odd reason? So, yeah, I opted to do dry January for a multitude of reasons. I felt like I turned to alcohol too much during the holidays, and not for having fun, but more so for a coping mechanism. So I just wanted to do a nice little reset and challenge myself to go the month of January without having to turn to alcohol all, which so far I've been able to do.
Can I ask you a question? And I think you already knew this. We all already knew this, that alcohol isn't good for you.
Of course not.
But now with it seeming to be like more of a passion for the government, even saying like, hey, we might need to slap like labels that alcohol causes cancer. Has that had anything to do with it?
No, I already made this decision prior to that information coming out, because that information came out after the first of the year. And I had made this decision at the end of December, which when you make that decision, I can take a step back and look at my actions. I went in even harder in December knowing I was going to go dry in January.
Dead man walking.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. And man, New Year's Eve. Oh, New Year's Day was not a good day. We did not kick the new year off right. So we're almost there, and I have decided that I am going to give up something else in February. It is not going to be alcohol. I am going to continue to monitor my alcohol consumption. I'm going to only allow myself alcoholic beverages on the weekends and not drink during the week, because I can already I get more stuff done. I'm more clear-headed during the show. I'm a more energetic mother. Like, I see the benefits, and I understand that. But for February, I am giving up something else.
Mm.
And I have lost count of how many times this has ended up in my DMs, how many Burt Show listeners have sent me this little factoid, this little tidbit, and it's got me doing some self-reflection, a little bit of introspection, one might say. And I'm like, you know, I want to give this up in February and see if it does have any bearing on my psyche.
I think I know what you're talking about.
So the little factoid that people love to send me time and time and time again on Instagram. Psychologist warns it's a major red flag to relax by enjoying true crime.
Oh, I knew it. This is going to be way harder than alcohol.
I think it is. So the caption reads, psychologist Dr. Thema Bryant has cautioned against using true crime shows as a way to unwind, suggesting it could be a red flag for unresolved emotional issues. She explained that finding relaxation and depictions of trauma might indicate familiarity with such experiences, potentially signaling a need for counseling. Dr. Bryant urged viewers to reflect on their habits, stating, if your idea of relaxing before you go to sleep is to watch 3 episodes of true crime, then I would encourage you to think about, why is trauma relaxing to me? This perspective emphasizes the importance of examining emotional triggers and their impact on the mental health. I'm not going to say it's an accurate assessment. It's a fair assessment. Mm. I will give her that. So I'm going to do my own little personal experiment. And for the month of February, I am giving up true crime.
But drinking more?
Probably. So what I mean by that, like, I am currently listening to a true crime podcast. By the way, it's called 3. It is so freaking good.
It's called what?
3.
Three.
It's literally called 3. And the social media aspect of it will blow your mind. It's about 3 young teenage girls. It's just, it's bananas. And it's so good. So I'm giving up my true crime podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving up my true crime documentaries. Mm. I'm giving up my true crime shows. I'm giving up all of it to see if I do see a difference in my psyche.
So now that you're going to have a little bit more free time on your hands and you're going to need something to fill the void, I think me and Cassie need to come together to convince you to spend your time in February reading the Fourth Wing trilogy.
Fourth Wing? But should I finish Throne of Glass or do I need to start Fourth Wing?
Throne of Glass.
What is this? What are you guys talking about?
So this is a brand new book that just came out in a very popular series. You know, we love our fairy corn, but we also love our dragon corn. We're PG now. We love our dragon corn as well.
That's right, because Onyx Storm just came out, right?
Onyx Storm just came out, and I feel like you need to get back on the same wavelength as all the book talk girlies.
What are you going to do at the end of the month if it does have an impact? Because I did have to give up true crime. I loved Crime Junkie, and it was affecting me in such a way. But, you know, I had a lot of mental problems, so I feel much better now. But if you enjoy it and it's not affecting you currently, Hopefully,
not
it
that
won't
I'm aware
change.
Of, but that's the thing. Like, I think we think we're self aware of, like, sometimes we are self aware, and other times we can be very self ignorant and we can think, like, this isn't affecting me. I'm totally fine. When in actuality, you take something your way and you're like, oh, wow, I didn't realize this was actually having such a negative effect on my mentality and my mental health. So, I chose the. The shortest month.
I was about to say that. That was the smartest thing you did. I noticed.
But that's, and I mean, it's, this may sound trivial, but this is like, it is something I genuinely enjoy. Again, I don't know what that says about me as a person that I enjoy this. But it's going to be, I think this is going to be a lot more difficult than giving up the alcohol.
Kristen's going to be taking so many things away from herself in 2025. She will unknowingly be Amish in December.
I can't wait for you guys to try my homemade butter. It's going to be amazing.
And no more electricity for Kristen either. It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.